Thank you for joining us for Life in Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
Now we'd like to welcome Andrew Foster, a.k.a. the Tax Man. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Mike.
How are things in the world of life and taxes?
Say, still up in the air.
Yeah, it still is up in the air. A lot of undecided. The debt ceiling probably got pushed back to December. They pushed that through yesterday, I guess. Mm-hmm. And the two big bills on the Hill are still up in the air.
Yes, yeah. Definitely up in the air. And, you know, we're waiting to see, you know, talks of that $3.5 trillion bill being lessened. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of where the talks have now centered, which is, okay, we know $3.5 trillion kind of dead on arrival relative to the thin majorities that they have in the Democrats have in the House and the Senate. So therefore we're still keeping our eyes open to see what's going to stay in, what's going to get cut. And it's going to be just really interesting to see, you know, what are the tax provisions that are going to try to pay for this measure. Mm-hmm. So that's still to be determined. We saw initially when they released the $3.5 trillion plan that some things got left on the chopping block, like the elimination of step up in tax basis at mm-hmm. death.
That's a big thing.
We talked about how that got put by the wayside. Yep. We talked about the deemed asset sale at death, how that got put by the wayside, but corporate tax increases, individual income tax increases rate-wise, mm-hmm. the estate tax lifetime exemption amount going from $10 million back to $5 million, all of those were included under the current $3.5 trillion plan. But if it gets cut, then obviously you're not going to need as many tax increases in order to pay for the spending, because there's going to be less spending. Well, so let's see, because they're talking about different things, which is, let's leave all the plans in place, all these mm-hmm. programs that we have, and rather than do it over a 10-year period, let's move it to a 5-year period. You know, there's talks about that. Then there's talks of, okay, well, let's pick out what we want the most, you know, and fund those for 10 years. Or maybe it's somewhere in between, Mike, where some get funded for 5 years and some get funded for 10 years, and then we just have a complete, you know, interesting bill on our hands, yeah, where we have different timing for everything.
and remember too, the president, we hold him to it. Nobody making less than $400,000 will pay more in taxes. They always say that,
yeah,
you know, and corporations aren't paying their fair share, or the rich aren't paying their fair share. Corporations pass through the rise in expense to provide their product or service to the consumer, or yes, to their end customer. So who ultimately pays for it? The people pay for it.
Yeah.
And where's the most people reside in this country? The middle class.
That's right. And, you know, I think when the interesting quote this past week, which I kind of raised an eyebrow at, was the president takes the podium and says, maybe takes to Twitter actually, and says, this costs $0. This bill, this $3.5 trillion bill costs $0 because it's fully paid for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you have programs that are lasting for 5 or 10 years, and you're paying for them over 15 years, you know, to say that's $0 is a little bit kind of laughable.
Well, you never see the savings first. You always see the spending first,
yeah,
in any plan, any administration. And oftentimes the spending takes place immediately, but the savings, the alleged savings over 10 years, yeah, after the battle they're fighting is within their own party.
That's right.
And the calendar.
Yes.
They know that the midterms, they're probably.
Yeah, they know they've got till the end of the year to do something. Otherwise, in an election year, no one's gonna want to be able to move on this.
And after that election, so long as we have fair and equal elections, they probably, one or two of the houses on the Hill will be in Republican control.
Yeah, you would think that. And that's just history. If history repeats itself, then
right,
that's what you're looking at. Then you've got divided government again.
Right.
And basically that means that nothing's going to get done in 2022.
So they got to push all this through right now. One of the things I heard, and I don't know if it's in one of the bills, I believe it is, but they want to get they want to look at people's bank accounts that hold more than $600.
No, any transaction. This is the interesting thing.
That's
so
crazy.
Any transaction that's over $600 will be reported to the IRS.
Over $600.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And so Janet Yellen was saying, oh, it's about matching inflows and outflows. That's dangerous. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's dangerous,
yeah,
because, you know, I understand, the IRS needs their information. We talk about, you know, how they get matching tax forms.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you get a 1099, you get a W-2, The IRS gets a 1099. The IRS gets a W-2, and they can use the matching technology to determine whether or not you've reported all of your income. This takes it to a whole new level, though, Mike. I mean, this is transactions that have nothing to do with income, potentially.
No.
You know, or expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So that are tax-related expense, deductible expenses.
Yeah.
So it could just be your mom gives you $1,000.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. For, you know, or your Christmas gift, your birthday gift. Heck, you could be a guy cutting grass. In one day, you could bank that.
Yeah. I mean, and so, you know, where does this – first of all, where does it start and then where does it end? You know, that's kind of the way that I look at it, which is – you know, how much information is too much information? And I think we have to look very, very, you know, Janet Yellen kind of just passes it off as like, oh, this is no big deal. But this is a huge deal. I mean, every transaction in your bank account is going to go to the IRS if it's more than $600, whether it's an in or an out. So that to me is just, again, that's one thing that's probably not getting enough headlines right now, because it really should. Relative to the impact that it would have on every American.
Yeah. And so you know how the IRS works too, Andrew. So they get, if they would see a lot of activity in a person's account, they might just send out a blanket, computer generated letter to someone, to a group of, depositors, you know, individuals saying that, we suspect there's some activity going on in your bank account. Then they got to get into, you know, they got to call Harvell and Collins, you know, they got to get you involved. That's a huge monumental undertaking.
Yeah, it's interesting to see what that information would be used for. You know, would it be used for, you know, possibly determining who needs to be audited?
Yeah.
You know, because hey, we think there's something funny going on here, so let's do an audit relative to this individual or business. Is it going to be used for maybe they're going to propose some new regulations relative to these transactions? You know, one of the things that kind of sticks in the back of my mind is that. And one of the things I wanted to bring up today is we have a tax deadline coming up, this October 15th deadline for foreign bank account reporting, the FBAR reporting.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be done. It was automatically extended through the legislation that was passed to extend the tax deadline. The FBAR got extended all the way out to October 15th. So if you didn't report it by the extended tax deadline this year, this May 17th deadline, you do have until October 15th. FBAR reporting basically requires if you have – bank accounts, foreign bank accounts that are in aggregate greater than $10,000, then you have to report the balance, the highest balance of the account to the IRS on a form. So therefore, and if you do not do that, Mike, if you do not report these foreign bank accounts, the penalties are astronomical. You could lose 50% one half of that balance of that bank account in a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so let's just say you got $1 million sitting in a bank account in Germany and you failed to report that. And they determine that to be a willful violation, which, by the way, willful violations are very difficult to – typically, if the district court sides with the IRS, it gets rubber stamped all the way up the chain to the point where we just had the Supreme Court have the opportunity to look at a $700,000 FBAR penalty case. Ooh. And they passed on it. They just passed on it 2 days ago. They said, no, we're not going to take this measure up. And so that means it stands. That lady owes $700,000,
wow,
one half the balance of her foreign bank accounts for simply not telling the government what the balance of that bank account was.
Yeah.
So this FBAR, so if you're sitting out there and you're listening to me right now and you're like, Andrew, I've never heard of this before, or wow, that's something that's new to me, and you do have some foreign resources, seriously, pick up the phone or email me, because the penalties are just astronomical. And that's one, like I said, they tend to stick. So, and that's kind of where I was going with this new $600 reporting mechanism that they're going to force banks to do. You know, are they going to somehow use this FBAR logic? Hey, we can take, not, it doesn't have to do with taxes.
No,
it's to do with income or expenses.
Yeah.
It's literally a penalty for failure to report. So then what happens now with these $600 transactions? Are they going to put some onus on the banks and say, if you fail to do this, what's the penalty going to be? Are they going to put some onus on the individual taxpayer in some way? And then maybe a penalty would be a portion of your bank account in some way. I mean, I just know the logic is there on the FBAR side,
mm-hmm,
and I'm interested to see how it plays out relative to these transactions. And right now it's, oh, no, we just want to kind of match inflows and outflows, and just, you know, that other information will be great, presumably for audit. But where does it end, Mike?
Yeah.
Where does it end once that information? Because once the IRS has it, yeah, and that, and it's been promulgated, and they can now get the information, I don't know what the limits are going to be.
Because they already have a threshold in place. Transactions made at banks or institutions over $10,000,
yes,
get reported.
Yeah.
And that was basically money laundering.
Yes, exactly.
So now, I mean, to say that, you know, we're not going to pay a dime for these programs they're trying to institute up in Washington, D.C., these bills are trying to pass. This is just kind of like, you're going to keep your tax rate the same in a municipality, but we got a lot of these fees. There's water and sewer. There's these are the fees. So we're going to involve the IRS and the Treasury. And say, okay, bank account $600, yeah, or more. That's a person making $15 an hour on a weekly paycheck, mm-hmm, you know, $600, you know, before taxes, but still.
Yeah, I think the takeaway from all this, Mike, is, you know, just continue to do your best to plan and to take advantage of, you know, our existing tax code. We mentioned that in several of our shows over the last couple of weeks, which is we have a window here now, which we know something is likely to get passed. We don't know what shape it's going to take, but there is going to be a planning opportunity in the last part of the year. Mm-hmm. And you know, the direction is not going, we're going to cut taxes and we're going to give you some of your money back. No, it's going the other way, sure, which is we're going to increase taxes. We want more information so we can hold you accountable, so we can audit you potentially. So the writing's on the wall that planning needs to take place.
So like we talked last week, Andrew, get your options in line. Get plan A, plan B, plan C. Talk to Andrew Foster at Harvell and Collins and get that mapped out. Get your roadmap. You'll need it. Just don't know which itinerary you're going to take at this point. Call 252-726-9050. And you can go online to harvellandcollins.com. Thanks, Andrew.